The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Text 51551. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Drunk is the name of a new TV series that starts next week on RTE2 television. It will put our commonly held perceptions and beliefs about alcohol under the microscope. As part of the show, volunteers have been asked to get drunk in front of the cameras and then to take on a range of tasks and challenges. Owen McDermott is the presenter of the show, while consultant hepatologist at the matter, Dr. Steve Stewart, is the expert on the show. And good morning to you both.
Good morning.
And Owen, I believe you're just back from Las Vegas. Somebody's birthday, was that it? Yeah.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, John. That's all I'm going to say about
Niall Horan's birthday party. You were at it.
Yes, yeah, it was a good laugh.
And was there a lot of drink consumed?
Everybody was fully functional at the end of it. Right. And like I say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Okay. You're not going to say a whole lot, but you will talk about this show. It's a different approach, I suppose, to this thorny old issue of how much we drink, and especially yes, among a young crew. So tell us just what exactly you've done.
Our part of it was we rented a warehouse in Dublin, and we invited members of the public to come along, and we gave them alcohol to the point where they were intoxicated on camera, and then set them a range of tasks and challenges to demonstrate the effects of alcohol on the body and the mind, so the mental and the physical effects in real time. And then Stephen, as you say, is a renowned hepatologist in the matter, and he was kind of there to officiate and quantify and qualify what we saw.
And what sort of age group are we talking about?
From 18 to probably mid-30s, I think. Stephen was the oldest.
Yeah, that would be the oldest. Yeah.
And men and women, a mix of both.
Yeah.
And it was very much experimental, Steve, wasn't it, to see just what effect it would have.
Yeah, so we were really trying to explore when people drink and when they drink to excess, how they behave psychologically, emotionally, and even physically and neurologically, and to put a scientific spin on it, and to try and explain from a scientific way why they behave as they behave.
Mm. What sort of challenges were they set on?
The first day was all motor skills, so hand-eye coordination, balance, that kind of thing. And then as the week progressed, kind of more psychological and emotional. So the first day, very easily, I suppose, measurable. You do a range of tests, physical tests, sober, do them again drunk. And then kind of more, I suppose, yeah, psychological psychological happenings beyond that.
Yeah, and just looking at it, I had a chance to see a preview screening of the first episode. Nothing terribly new about some of the findings, Steve. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think we're not really trying to find new things out about being drunk. What we're trying to do is to explore a bit more what happens when people do drink. When they're drinking and they're drinking heavily, they don't really see themselves when they're drinking. So we're trying to show that particular age group what they behave like, and then also to see some of the negative effects that can happen when they're uncoordinated, or when they're arguing and when they're fighting. And to then I do parts where I link the behaviour that we see to some of the behaviours that I might see in the emergency department at 2 a.m. or so. So there is a scientific spin on it, but these aren't scientific experiments, and we're not trying to find something new. We're trying to explore something that happens every single day.
And tell us something, given your job as a hepatologist, what have you seen develop over the last 5 or 10 years when it comes to our consumption of drink?
So the biggest problem that I see is the increasing rate of cirrhosis mortality. So cirrhosis mortality has doubled in the last 15 years in Ireland. And also the people who are dying of cirrhosis are getting younger. It's not the 60, 65-year-old man who's been drinking all their life. It's 20, 30, 40-year-old men. And it's split evenly pretty much between men and women. And that was one of the real drivers that led us to form this Royal College of Physicians alcohol policy group that was trying to influence public policy and to try and to influence politicians to bring in some measures to change that. There's obviously that element, and then there's the acute drinking and the people ending up in the emergency department. So 25% of all emergency admissions are related to alcohol. A third of all fatal car crashes are related to alcohol, and that's all one side. But then obviously this is completely different. This is an exploration of a single night of drinking and how that can change your behaviour and how you can change your psychology.
Sure, and we can now hear a clip from the show. Two volunteers, after they've had, I think, about 15 to 17 pub measures of vodka. Does that sound about right? They're getting a little bit tetchy.
Dublin people have such a strong accent.
Real starry.
We're not that bad, are we, really?
You're pretty bad, yeah. Scary.
This is boring.
Don't be such a... Oh, because I'm so popular. I have so much better things to do. I'm such a...
I'm not a...
Enjoy the moment. I'm not stop a... being a bitch.
These are all boring.
Okay, then go.
I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna go home because you told me to go home.
What? Don't smash the glass off my head.
I'm not gonna smash a glass.
No, but like, why? I'm just trying to have a talk with you.
You're
why would you do
talk,
something?
You're trying to intimidate me or something. It's not gonna happen.
I'm not trying to intimidate you, but
yeah,
you call
me being
boring.
A bit of an
that's really
I'm just like,
offending.
Watch your deal. You've been fine all day. And
yes, and you were probably lurking in the background for that own.
Well,
Stone Cold Sober.
Yeah, absolutely. What's fascinating about that is those two individuals. And this is a perfect example, I suppose, of how relationships can deteriorate on a night out or whatever, or you end up in trouble. Those two individuals didn't come to fisticuffs, but they got on like a house on fire for a majority of the night. And then I think once they hit a certain level of drunkenness, it all went wrong over a kind of a wayward comment. So those kind of little insights into how things can go bad, I think, are really worthwhile in terms of why the show exists and why we're doing what we're doing.
Sure. And what surprised you, would you say, about those participating in the series?
Big revelations for me was there were people who were a similar body type, weight, height, all that, and they drank the same amount over the course of an evening, and then Stephen would measure their blood alcohol concentration, and for two people of a similar size, same sex, whatever, you would expect they would be more or less the same reading, and the variances in readings for some people was astonishing. So some people could just metabolize and handle drink a lot more than others of, you know, like I say, a similar body shape or size. And also, even thinking of college now, like if you picture a night out of young people drinking hard or whatever, girls occasionally, not always, try to keep up with guys, and it's a round system or whatever. And the difference in boys and girls and their ability to handle alcohol and metabolize it was also astonishing. Yeah,
you're nodding in agreement there, Steve.
Yeah, I think that was one of the really dominant things. I think that if you're smaller, and particularly if you're female and smaller, you just can't metabolize alcohol in the same way at all. You end up drunker, you end up with higher blood alcohol concentrations, and that leads to more acute problems, but also more long-term problems. So that was one of the really sort of interesting things. I think also the other thing that came across was everybody behaves differently, but it really struck me, alcohol is such a strong psychotropic drug that has such strong effects on our emotions, our behavior, our psychology, and physically on our neurology. That really comes across strongly in the show, and there's certain really predictable things. There weren't things that we were particularly looking for, but to watch somebody go from sober to then the social lubrication and getting chatty and really friendly and then having a fight and being able to watch that as it's happening was really fascinating, because it's something as a doctor I would never normally do.
Yeah, and it's, I think the point is made in the first episode that those who tend to be shy sober become very loud when they're drunk, and those who are loud enough or outgoing enough when they're sober tend to become much more introverted when they drink a lot.
And I think you can see that socially as well, you know. So this is very much a program that reflects what you do and what we see in the social environment. So again, it's nothing new. It's just looking at it in a new way.
And women drinking more, obviously this is a big issue.
Well, I think what I was trying to do in my part of the show was to link this and send some message around this. And I think it's really important with public broadcasting this, that there is a message. This was a very responsible show, and everything was done in a controlled environment. One of the things we saw was the problem with women and alcohol, and what that explains is why we're seeing a dramatic increase in cirrhosis mortality in women, with women trying now more than 20 or 30 years ago, more than ever, I imagine, trying to keep up with men in their drinking, and they're just not made for it.
Mm-hmm. There's also a promiscuity test. Explain that to us all in the first episode, where people are asked to rate, I think.
Well, that's very hard language. You wouldn't say it's a promiscuity test. It's a how do people, or do people become more attractive as you get more tipsy test.
Yes,
whatever the condensed term for that is. Yeah, so we just showed people a rake of images of people of the opposite sex, asked to rate their attractiveness sober, and then do the same again after a few drinks.
Yeah, so this, I mean, this again was a bit of fun. It was called the beer goggles test.
Beer goggles test.
I guess it's something that we all know happens, that women become more attractive to men and or the opposite sex become more attractive as you drink more. But again, it's kind of then linked to a voice piece from the participants themselves, where they explain what happens to them at 3 a.m. when that, they then go hunting for a partner.
They get horny.
And then we link that into all the potential problems that can happen with that. When it's 3 a.m, you're horny and you've got less awareness of risk and you're less anxious.
You're more desperate, isn't it?
You're more desperate, but also you're in a position where you're really prone to making bad decisions. Mm. And hopefully people can watch the program and think, yeah, actually, maybe that did happen to me. Maybe I woke up that morning after I was drunk and maybe it'd be better if I just cut back a bit. And I think that's one of the messages of the show.
There were some simulated driving tests as well.
Yeah, so there was as one of the we did quite a few motor tests, looking at really kind of coarse motor, but then also finer tests of cerebellum, which is affected, and then we wanted to do some much more complex things like driving, particularly. And obviously you've seen the show, and people have to watch the show to get the full idea of what happened with this. But in general, people became more cautious. They were quite aware of how bad they were at their driving. And I think one of the girls hit a child in the simulator
which was obviously
a bad thing to do. So,
and how much had she consumed?
I think she hadn't actually drunk that much. It was about 7 or 8 vodkas, I think, she'd had at that point.
Right.
But we saw so we saw that they were over cautious in the car, which, as we know, can be as dangerous.
Can
as
be
being
dangerous
over,
being
absolutely
a bit reckless in the car.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the episode, you actually say that one thing.
Don't be spoiling now, John.
Well, no. It's just a line in it, which you talk about the worrying thing being the tolerance of alcohol among people in this age group.
Yeah, I think we gave. Really, we didn't give people drink when they didn't want a drink. We didn't force anybody to drink. And I was quite surprised by how much some people were able to drink, firstly, but even more surprised by really how well they behaved with that amount of drink on board. And that told me two things, really. One, that they were very tolerant to high levels of alcohol and they were able to metabolize it quickly and get it down quickly. But also that even though the blood alcohol concentration was high, they were just used to it. They were able to handle it. And I think if somebody hadn't been drinking and you gave them 15, 16 vodkas, they wouldn't get into a car and be able to drive at all. Whereas they were overcautious and they weren't safe at all. Mm. But they were pretty much able to do the motor tests that we gave them. They're able to focus really a lot for 10, 20 seconds or even a minute or so. One of the overviews of the program is that kind of concerned me, definitely.
Definitely, yeah. And is there anything to be done about that?
Well, I think this program, the reason I got involved in this program is because I think it was a really important exploration of something that Ireland has a big problem with and that happens every night of the week. It's not weekends, but every single night. And this is one element of what we're trying to do as doctors. And I think if we are going to change that, we have to come at it a multi-pronged approach. So I think this TV program is one of them. I think having less promotion around alcohol is a really, really important one, and particularly limiting promotion to underage drinkers, which is what happens through sport. And that's one of the other big policies of the Royal College is to try and limit that and stop people drinking so early, so much, because there are certain ones of them who will end up with big, big problems.
Mm. Could it be argued that this show is a bit exploitative and sensational, that we, as I said at the outset, we know that, you know, men and women become more promiscuous. We know that men and women become more aggressive. We know that men and women have problems with their memory after a lot of drink, that you're really only telling us what we know already.
I think,
well, this is maybe a doctor question, but at the same time, this is predominantly for, like, it is RT2, so it's a little loud and it's a little noisy, and this is a very formal conversation, but it is a casual exploration in some sense. Like, it's not hard science experiments. It's casual science experiments. And I suppose then Steve is there to, like I say, quantify and qualify stuff. But I think older people know these kind of things, but for teenagers, maybe they're not really fully aware of the consequences of their actions all the time. Because I don't think that everybody is so eager to throw caution into the wind 100%. So maybe in a kind of a casual, non-preachy way, if people incrementally are exposed to consequences of their actions, it'll be informative in that way. So as far as I'm concerned, as a layman, not coming at it as a scientific approach, I would kind of go, it's socially worthwhile, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think if you, if something is sensationalist, it takes something that is generally unimportant, has little relevance to many people, and tries to, through manipulating people's minds, make it into an important thing. And this is really quite the opposite. And I think it's quite an understated program. I think it takes something that is really important to everybody, whether or not they drink it. This alcohol has an impact. It affects so many people directly, and I think the show has taken what happens every day and is actually doing it in a more controlled environment. It's, if you want to see real sensationalism about alcohol, just go out on a Friday night or a Saturday night.
Well, that's what it does, and it dips into, I think, an outing, the first episode in Wexford and all that goes on, and the madness of it and all the danger, the possibility of danger and the people getting hurt. That's central to it, isn't it?
I think it's a really strong part of the show. I mean, I saw that for the first time recently, and having not worked in that part, but I think it's a really strong part of the show that shows in real life what we're showing in the studio. What did you think of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing the show consciously decided not to do, which it could have done, was to procure, you know, CCTV footage of the worst part of drinks and violent assaults and this kind of thing. So it doesn't go into that. It just takes the people, let them, you know, this actuality gang in Wexford, they're out and the cameras just follow them and they're not instigated to do anything. And nothing awful happens that group, but something awful happens many groups all the time around the country. So we didn't necessarily go and try to get the worst of the worst, so we're not trying to sensationalise in that sense.
Yeah. And given the age group from roughly 18 to 35, is that the group, is that the age group that is throughout the series, or do you deal with older people as well?
That's pretty much it for the series, yeah.
And are you less worried then about people over the age of 35?
No, not at all. I think, like I was saying earlier, that this tackles one small part of what is the global alcohol poor relationship in Ireland. And I think this show from the beginning was targeted at that audience. And I think you can hit one audience at once. And I think it's aimed very much at that. And I think it works very well.
Is there any signs that a new generation will be, you know, a little bit less fond of alcohol? Or is there anything to be optimistic about, really?
No.
No.
No, there's not. Absolutely not. And I think people's patterns of alcohol are changing. And I think there's much more nuanced promotion. I think it's targeted at younger people. I think people are drinking outside the pub and they're drinking stronger drinks. They're drinking more and they're drinking more to get drunk. And I think we're at the tip of the iceberg. We're seeing the tip of the iceberg. And I think things are going to get worse. Things have got a lot worse in the last 15 years. And the only thing I can see that's hopeful is there's started to be, I think more discussion, not just about the drink problem, but about what are the possible solutions over the last year or two. And I think that gives us hope.
Well, it's called Drunk. It's on RTE2 television, the first in the series, next Tuesday evening at 9:30. Thanks to Owen McDermott for coming in.
Thanks,
and also to Dr. Steve Stewart, consultant hepatologist at The Matter. And we look forward to seeing it in its entirety on Tuesday. Thanks a lot. Back in a moment.
Text 51551. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.